What a blessing to be to Sword of the Lord Conference. What a joy it is for us. I'm Brother Jim Rumsey. My wife is with me. Yvonne, would you stand up? She travels with us. We are in prison evangelism, and God is really truly blessed. Pastor asked if I'd tell my testimony. I'll just go ahead and try to do that briefly, but I'm no exception. Any lost sinner that calls on the name of Jesus, that trusts Christ as his Savior, becomes a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17. I was saved at July 11th, 1986, at Trinity Rescue Mission in Jacksonville, Florida. 33 years ago. I was using an assumed name. Had a warrant for my arrest. I was 37 years old with a ruined life, drunk, drugs, the old, all that. But the Lord saved me.
Amen.
Delivered me. I didn't need a 12-step program. He took all of that,
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I have to give him the glory every day. So I stayed there, even though, as I said, I was using the assumed name and I was warned by the law, there's a warrant for my arrest. I stayed on the staff there for about a year or so. And I, of course, had to go to church. Good habit to get into. They did that, made us go to church all the time. We had devotions. We had to do devotions, read in the Word, pray ourselves. Amen, every day. So that was good as well. I worked on staff there, dishwashing, mopping floors, making beds, all the things rescue mission people do when they're working in that ministry. But I still had that warrant out for my wrist. And I began, as I was learning more about God and trusting the Lord, I began to see that I needed to get this right. I had to get this right. The Lord, the Holy Ghost of God, was telling me. As a matter of fact, a man came by and preached to him and knew what to do good and knew it not. To him is it sin.
Yep.
So the next morning, I went and talked to the matron, Mrs. Vera Willinger, and I said what I had to do was go see the sheriff, turn myself in for the charges that were outstanding. And I said I didn't know what was going to happen, but I wanted to thank her for the help that she had been in my life. So I walked down the street to the other side of Bay Street in Jacksonville, Florida, turned myself into the sheriff, and he put me in jail. Amen. I was in the will of God and waiting on a trial. And it wasn't going to be a trial. I was just going to plead. I was guilty. And I began, of course, if you're in jail, I got to give you some advice about that. Mind your own business. Keep yourself as much as you can. You know, defend yourself if you need to, but always, just don't start looking for trouble. So I would read my Bible. I had a New Testament, Gideon New Testament they could let me keep. I read it on myself. I'd pray beside my bunk and ask God just to be merciful and watch over me, keep me. Bless people that I knew that I needed to pray for. And before long, and it wasn't long, like 2 or 3 days probably, God started sending other inmates by my cell. And they came to me and asked me to pray for them. There were burdens on their hearts that really, people needed help in their family situations. They needed mercy in their court things coming up. So they'd ask me to pray. And I did. And some would come and say, "What does this mean in the Bible?" And I would say, "Well, let me get back with you about that. I'll find out myself and then let you know." But, I know God called me to a jail ministry at that time. I hadn't seen the judge yet, but I saw him and got a probated sentence after about 30 days. Hallelujah. Now, that means I didn't have to go to prison, but did have to report to the probation officer, pay a fine, and do a community service. But I could pay the fine out. Amen. So I did all this. But I was able also to enroll at Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville at the time, and even on probation. So I did, because the staff man at the mission said that if I was going to be used of the Lord preaching the gospel, I should be trained. And I'm glad that I did enroll, because I learned That's language school for me. Amen. Before I was saved, I only had about four words I could say. Most of them I wouldn't be able to repeat up here. I mean, but thankfully, you know, been hanging around Christian people and around all that time, it was a good thing. So, graduated in May of 91, commissioned by Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples as a missionary to prisons. Knew I was going to prison to do that. Started raising support. Missionaries start right here. I'm sure, but you are, as a blessing, the benefit, you're able to network together concerned people that will help and pray and contribute some in the ministry. So thank God for all that time in deputation. But I had a need. I mean, I had graduated Bible school and I was going to the mission field and I needed a wife. And I began to pray. You guys got to see that God answers prayer, praise the Lord. Miss Yvonne and I have been together 25 years now. Hallelujah. And she travels with me. She prays in the meetings. She sings in the chapels. And we thank the Lord to have the privilege of serving God together. Amen. It's a great honor and a great privilege to be with my best friend and helpmeet and lover and wife.
Amen.
28 years. 23 facilities we go to, like the old-time circuit rider. You know, we come back about the same one about every 90 days and see the same faces. Some of them are growing. Amen. Some of them are growing. Sometimes we get some of these new faces, like just this past weekend at Mid-State Correctional Facility in Marcy, New York. There was a new man that was there, and we didn't have a great crowd. We had a pretty good crowd, and there was a He trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior and six others there that morning just past Sunday. Just coming, when we get back to Florida, we'll be at Putnam Correctional Institution in Palatka, Florida. That'll be a Friday night service there. And I always want to thank God for my new life in Christ.
Amen.
I mean, it's been a while. I mean, you say, well, Brother Jimmy, aren't you really just kind of in a rut? Don't you know all about how you do your ministry and what you're doing for the Lord? Well, that preaching last night sure helped, didn't it?
Amen.
Amen. But I'm thanking God for the blessing of a new life and a new song. A new song. See, I had some old songs that I had running in my head back in those early days. Some of it country western, some of it rock and roll, and none of it right.
Right.
I'd like to sing this before I get into the Word. Afraid to lift my head, I stand before you. I'm afraid it is too late to be ashamed. Unworthy to be heard, I call upon you. For all the times I called your name in vain. Oh, Jesus, I don't deserve your mercy.
That's right.
Knowing right from wrong, I chose to live in sin. But today my soul is crying for an answer to the prayers that ended with my mama's last amen. She prayed that I'd be strong enough to follow you. I promised her I would, but never tried. She said, Jesus, if he stumbles, give him faith to keep on searching till he knows that he has found the tree of life. Dear Jesus, let me go back to her bedside. Give me one more chance to follow you again, cause today my soul is crying for an answer to the prayers that ended with my mama's last amen. Today my soul is crying for an answer to the prayers that ended with my mama's last amen. If you got your Bibles this afternoon in Luke chapter 5, this is a classic mission text, Luke chapter 5, and we'll begin the reading in verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Trust the Holy Spirit of God to add his blessing. It's the reading of God's word. Pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God for preaching the gospel. And ask, Lord, that you have your sweet will and way in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Classic mission text, but I'm not a classic mission preacher. I'm a prison preacher. Amen. And so, if you ever wanted to do any prison preaching, I got an outline for you. Pretty much. A good outline. Amen. If you are preaching in prison, make sure after they know the Lord that when they come out of that place, when they come out of that place, there's three things. Amen. Three things. If you're saved, what you want to do when you come out of prison? Go to church.
Yep.
Amen. You want to go to church, if even if they care you're there or not. Go.
Amen.
Go to church. Get a job.
Amen.
I have to explain that sometimes in prison because not everybody's ever experienced that sort of thing. But that's right. Man don't work, neither should he eat. Amen. Start tithing.
Amen.
Amen. The tithe is a tenth. That's right. So you tell prisoners they don't have any money, you tell them that. That's right. Because when they come out of prison and they get that job and they start tithing, even as they were to gain more income and have more value in their paycheck, they would get in the habit of it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the reasoning in a prison message. Make sure that everybody knows that once they leave this place, they've got a responsibility to serve the Lord. Okay, now this mission text. There's four things that are very important in missionary work. It's obedience, partnership, soul winning, and surrender. And surrender. So first, let's see verse 5. Scripture says, "When Simon answered unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." He's been told to launch out into the deep and let down his nets for a draft. Amen. The Lord uses ships, and he was telling him to go on out and let down the nets. Now, Simon's a fisherman. He knows how to fish. He's been out fishing all night. So he said, Lord, we've toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. See, he's not really excited about this. Can you say amen right there? He's not really excited about going out to fish again. But the Lord said, and he did. And he did go out to let down the net. Sometimes God will say something in his word, we know we're supposed to do it.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Sometimes we might not even really be excited about it. Might not even think, hey, maybe not right now. But if we will go ahead and do what he says, we'll see that there'll be a big blessing in that. Amen? A blessing for us. And it'll be always that sort of a thing. Even if you're not really excited about it, go and do it anyway.
That's right.
Go and do it anyway. I always want to preach, do your best. Do your best. Amen. Scripture says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Abounding means plentiful. I mean, get after it. Amen.
Amen.
That's what that's about. But what about those times when it's kind of like getting stale or getting old, or, hey, I've done it already. Go and do it again.
Amen.
Anyway. Go and do it again anyway. Before I knew the Lord and really got back into some serious trouble, I mean, and before in those days as a younger man, I had a career, or at least I had a business of taking installing the vinyl wall covering that was in these high-rise buildings. I lived in the Dallas, Texas area, and we had a lot of work in those days in the early 80s and late 70s. So that was what we did, and I subcontracted a lot for other contractors, and would just be doing it by piecework. We had, in this case, as a vinyl wall covering installer, you've got to tell the man that's pulling the material off the Venetron machine how many yards you want to hang that day. So you go in there in the morning, and somebody that's reasonably concerned and able skilled can hang a bolt of wall covering 30 yards. He can hang that before lunchtime. And then if he's fit and able, he can hang a second bolt there and hang that before lunch, supper time. So that's like, let's see, we were hanging 30, getting paid $260 before lunch. And then that second bolt, you get back another 60. Amen. Have a nice day after working till 5. But if you were really hungry and you really were wanting to make some extra money, you could get that third bolt, get that hung before 9 o'clock, 8 or 9 o'clock, and you'd be walking out with some cash, or at least a good, pretty good income. You do it all week, and that adds up. So I'd always tell him, pretty much, especially in the early part of the week, I'd say, I'd like to have three bolts. I'd like to have three today. Well, you must install all of it that you tell him to pull, or else it'll go to waste overnight. You can't just leave a pile of it at the end of the day. And so if you pull it three, you got to hang three. That means you're going to stay and do it. Now, sometimes on Fridays, you go in there and tell the puller, because you're going to get your check at noon. Oh, just one. Just one today. And, amen. Well, that was kind of like, well, I'm just saying that here you can determine how much you're actually excited about going to do in advance. Amen. You can go ahead and decide, yes, we're going to serve the Lord. Yes, we're going to seek souls. Yes, yes, we're going to preach the gospel. You get that determined ahead of time, surely, and that is going to be at an advantage. But we see, here's Peter. He didn't really care that much about it, but he did. I thank God for this. I thank God for this, because I can be honest with you, I believe sometimes we've just been at one service, and now we're going to go to another one. Yes. Yes, we are, Lord. Yes, we are. You opened the door. You gave us the opportunity, and yes, we will. Amen. And just saying that obedience is required in missions. And next, see this, verse 10. Scripture says, well, we got to go to verse 9 and see about that great catch of fish. It says that Simon Peter and them were astonished, but all are with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Soul winning is very much a part of missions. A part of missions. The Bible tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
yeah,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. To reach the lost with the gospel is to let them know who Jesus is.
Amen.
And what he does. Let them know that he's there to save to the uttermost. There's a need for missionaries still in our churches. And that need is a great one. I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 24, the Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." That's creation. That's what the Lord did. Created man in his own image. Now, let me just tell you this. If I see a roach, I'm going to kill it. Yeah, Brother Jim, I'll kill it because roaches are nasty. Roaches are nasty. And if you ever see a roach, you want to go ahead and whatever it takes to do it, go ahead and kill it. Amen. Roaches will get on your toothbrush. They'll walk around all over. Roaches will get in your potato chip bag if you don't have one of those little clippies on it overnight. Yeah, kill a roach. Go ahead. Now, this is a hypothetical illustration. Hypothetical means if, mostly. If you go to kill a roach, and the roach were to say, now, don't worry, roaches don't talk. That's why this is hypothetical. If the roach were to say, oh, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I'll change. I'll change to a butterfly, or I'll change to a ladybug. See, nobody wants to kill a ladybug or a butterfly. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. That roach can't change. He's a roach. He's a roach. The Bible says God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Mankind, after Adam fell in the garden, sinned, and we inherited that sin nature as men. Amen. A sinner is a sinner. A sinner is a sinner. You might hear someone say, oh, I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll change. I'll do better. I'll never do that again. You might hear that. They need God. They need the Lord Jesus Christ for any change.
That's right.
For any change to take place. The Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Yeah. So in death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Soul winning is about reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a need. It's a necessity. And let's see verse 7. This afternoon, verse 7, back in Luke. The scripture here says, they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Partnership. Partnership. Missionary work is a work of partnership. We need God's people in the churches that are praying for missionaries, and also those that support missionaries. We need that to continue in the work, to be able to do the work. We see this great catch of fish, and the ship was beginning, the nets were beginning to break, and they beckoned unto their partners. The other ship was across the lake. They beckoned unto their partners, and their partners came and responded. They responded and came to help so that both of the ships were sinking with fish in them. Woo! What a catch! I'd like to see the rerun of that. Amen. Those were tremendous, that catch of fish. But they worked together. They worked together to get them in. So when you send out your missionaries, don't forget to pray for them.
Amen.
When you send out your missionaries, they need more than just your dollars, but they need also your prayer and lift them up in prayer. The partnership work and the responsibility, of course, of the missionary is to do what God's called us to do and represent the church.
Yep.
Amen. And be faithful in our work that God's called us to do, to be accountable to what we're doing. Amen. So this is works together. It works together in missions. Jesus promises his power for witnessing and charges us, his disciples, to take the gospel to where we are, to our neighbors, and to the whole world. That's Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Great Commission. It's a serious matter because the prophet Joel expressly warns there of pending judgment. That means soon.
Right.
Soon coming judgment. And he describes there in chapter 3 in verse 14 an assembly of called out heathen. They're called out for judgment there. The magnitude of his coming judgment is described in verse 14 as multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision. But each individual is accountable personally to God. What have they done? What have they done with Jesus? What have you done? What have you done with Jesus? Accept him? Reject him? They're there because they have rejected him. Missionaries have answered his charge to go. We have answered. Yvonne and I have answered his charge to go wherever the Lord sends us to tell the multitudes that there is a Savior. I would define charge as the explanation of a duty or obligation with the expectation of its being done accordingly. Have you answered that charge? Have you answered that charge this afternoon? Do you do what he says? Will you come help? Will you come help us? Will you be a missionary yourself? Well, not everybody's called to be to a mission field. But would you pray? Would you pray about it? And if you can't go, would you send somebody? Send somebody. Everybody knows this. More money in your church's mission budget means more missions work can be done. Will you give so that others can go? There's always that principle, you can't outgive God. Amen. And missions is the heartbeat of God. So we're seeing some things about missions in this text in Luke chapter 5. And finally, we get to verse 11. And that's a scary one. It's a scary one for most of us. Got a career, got a mortgage, got responsibilities in the family. The Bible says there, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. What's scary about that? Forsaking all. Whoo! Everything. Give it up. Put it up on the pile and leave. Walk from it.
Yep.
That sounds scary. But let me just say this, please. Can I say this? That what God really wants is you.
Amen.
100% of you.
Amen.
Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service.
Right.
He just wants us, all of us.
Amen.
God has called you. If he hasn't called you to be a missionary or a pastor or in the service of the Lord in that type of way, well, he has surely called you to be a faithful family member.
Amen.
To be a father or a mother or even a child, to be faithful in your responsibilities in that family. He surely called you to be a faithful church member if you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. A faithful steward of your time and talent and treasure that belongs to the Lord. And maybe he's called you to be a missionary. Maybe he'll call you this morning or this evening to be a missionary. Then you need to get with your pastor. Sure, it's all done under the local church authority. Get with your pastor and pray and seek God's direction about this missionary calling. We don't have a long time. I don't believe we have a long time before the Lord comes back. You know the verses, but I'm going to turn there and read them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, hallelujah, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming soon.
Amen.
He's coming soon. When he comes, let him find us to be obedient in what his charge has been in serving. Let him find us not trying to get in his throne. You know, he's going to be sitting on his throne when he gets back. He's the King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's supposed to be number one in our lives.
Amen.
And then others, our families and ourselves. But sometimes what happens is we'd kind of like to get up on that chair ourselves. Maybe kind of like lean back and enjoy the principal place that can be. When I was very young, I'm talking very young now, I'm very old, but now I was very young. Once about six, and my little brother would have been around four. I was pretty tall even as a kid and weighed a little more than him. And Dad got one of these Barca Lounger recliners. In those days, now that was the cat's meow. You could lean back in that thing and you could lay back and rest. He watched TV, had it propped back there when he got home. But me and my brother found out that actually he, being lighter than me, could sit up on the headrest part of that recliner when it was laid back. And I could get up on the piano stool next to Mom's piano stool next to the recliner and jump up and land on the footrest part of the chair and duck down because my brother was going to fly over my head. Woo, that was what they called horseplay. And let me say, what horseplay was going to get you in trouble. And sometimes Ma would be saying from the kitchen, he said, boys, Daddy's coming home. Daddy's coming home. I think he's coming up in the driveway right now. It gets real serious. Dad didn't know anything about Dr. Spock. And horseplay was primarily going to be corrected. So Mom would give us a warning and make sure that we knew. But let me just say this. He's coming soon.
That's right.
We don't need to be in his throne. He needs to be there.
Amen.
So we need to let him have his place. The throne of your heart. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your love. Thank you, Lord, you are coming back. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us a specific call. And many in this room are also answering that charge that you've given them. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the privilege it is to serve you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. We ask that you would bless each one today. Help us, dear God, to be faithful till you come. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have you first in our lives, the preeminence in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.